and trouble and trouble at home and work and all kinds of things. And I get to the door fixing to go into the church, and I heard the Holy Spirit. I could see me in insulated coveralls. How many of those insulated coveralls shields you from the outside? Cold and all of that. But how many knows it'll lock you out from God, the things, your troubles and all? And I stopped and I thought, why am I seeing that? I seen it in here, in your spirit. See, the Holy Spirit quickens you in your spirit, man. That's why we don't try to hear from God through our mind. And we need to teach our kids and grandkids, you know, He speaks to you inwardly. We're actually, when we get born again, we're supposed to live from the inside in here. We live by our own logic before we got born again. And after we get born again, we have to endeavor not to live by our logic anymore, to live by the Word of God. But anyways, you know, what was I telling you? Oh, yeah. And I got there, and I stopped, you know, and I'm thinking, why am I seeing that? And I could see that those coveralls were my marital trouble in my house. You know, I could see that it was work and all of that just instantly, and the Lord said, take them off. He said, leave all of that out here. He said, leave it out here. He said, and go into my house and focus on me and worship me and hear my word. How many knows when you come to the house of the Lord, or even in your personal, but especially the house of the Lord, it's time for us to come with our attention towards our God. And to worship Him and give him our service in worshiping Him, and give Him our service by paying attention to what He's speaking, the Word of God, when it's preached, whether it's me or whoever it is, you know. And I did that, and during the praise and worship, I'd never experienced. Go ahead, Beth, and start it, because I'm liable to be. I'm going to talk about every need supplied this morning. But I got in. And I got in, when I came, went in there, and they started singing the songs for the first time, I guess, in my life. I just shut my eyes, and I quit looking at people around me. And I just, because of what He told me that day, I went in there, and I went in there, and I was expecting God to help me in my marriage. Right? I mean, I was believing God to help us in that business, or whatever we was in my business. I was in there believing God to help me, you know, and didn't really realize what I'm telling you, that I went in then, I was looking for answers. I was looking for strength. I was looking for, and He showed up. He shows up in every service with everything that we need. And you know what? I found myself, I shut my eyes, and I began to sing the song that I really didn't like. Right? It seemed like you did it every service, and I was getting sick of it. But I didn't know that God was using that to break me, to bring me, to allow me to use what I didn't like to humble myself to Him so that He could exalt me. I didn't know none of them scriptures then. But see, it's not the song that takes you in to the presence of God. Come on, somebody, it's your worship. That song takes you nowhere. But that song helps us, gives us something to sing to Him from in here. And I found myself, when I opened my eyes, I was looking through bowls of water. It was tears. I didn't know how long I'd been in that place. I didn't know how long, you know, how long He had sang that song. Because sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes on me, or on Him, or on, they'll stay on something. You know, God will just stay, He'll stay on that song over and over and over and over. Why? Because it's what He's using to bring His people into oneness in that service, to worship in Him. You know, it's not the song that takes us into the presence of God. You know, but it's our worshiping Him through that song that actually takes us into His presence. See, there's a place in God where every need is met. Jesus preached it, and Beth don't have this scripture, and that's fine. But it's in John 10:10. Jesus said that he come that we might have life and have it more abundant. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus wrote it. And I began to study what that means, abundant. That you might have life more abundant to the, and when I begin to go back to the Greek meaning and study that word abundant, it says that Jesus come that we might have life to the full till it overflows. Nothing broken and nothing missing. And I thought, man, I need that in my marriage. Man, I need that in my finances. I need that in my body. I need that in my mama's life. I need that. I need that. We need that in our church. I didn't have a church. We need that in our church where there's nothing broken, nothing missing. Jesus said, I come that you might have life. And that, yeah, there he is. But the thief come, and we won't focus on that. He's not stupid. He shows up, gets you to get your mind on something else other than what God said, even the Bible. I've told you the story here how out of rebellion, I'm reading the Bible, and that guy said, look up here, don't read your Bible. And I said, and I raised my Bible up, and I said, oh, don't tell me, don't read my Bible in church. And I didn't realize that I was rebellious. I didn't realize that this man had put his whole life down and fasted and prayed and sought the Lord, and God lined this revival up for me. I didn't know that. I just thought, I want this preacher gone, you know, where I can have Brad back, where we can go back to having services. But before that whole week was over, I was a changed man. I finally laid that Bible down, and when he had said it, and I began to listen to him. How many knows the Bible says that if we humble ourselves before the Lord, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says, where he can bring us up. He can, and you know what? I never dreaded that preacher coming back again. I always wanted him to come back, but he was preaching on love that week. If God set him up, see, he set this church up for you. There's many that's coming. They're going to come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're not coming just to have church. They're going to come because God put it on their heart to come here. It's his will, and they might not know it. That God has plans for them, for you. Me and you are getting ready to help them take on and run with the baton that me and you knows how to run with it. We know God. We know how to pray. We know how to fast. We know how to lean on him. We know how to trust in him. And these younger ones don't. They don't know how to do what we've got some experience. We've got some experience, but we know within ourselves it's not all that that got us where we're at. What got us where we're at is our humbleness to God, our believing God. Hallelujah. But see, he Jesus already paid for a full life. People's told me before, they said, well, you know, the people, they don't give in church. I said, that's none of my business. Well, the light bill won't get paid. I said, well, they'll cut God's lights off. I said, I'm not paying God's bill. I said, so what that means, if God told me to do it, then I don't have to pay his bills. Well, if God told you that you can have life to the full till it overflows, then he ain't asked you to figure out how to get it. He says, believe me, I came and I did that. I took on poverty that you can have more than enough. I took on sickness. I took on your sin so that you can become righteous. I took on your poverty spiritually that you can be rich spiritually. I went out in the desert, a lonely place, alone and tempted of the devil, that you don't have to go into those spiritually desert places. I took on all of that. I took on all of the loneliness. I took on all of the lack of understanding out in that wilderness when I was tempted of the devil. And the Lord said in that, told me, he said, you do what I did in those times. He said, what did I do? I said, God, I said, you spoke the word of God to Satan. That's what he done. And he told Satan, he said, man shall not live by bread alone. He was quote, most of the scriptures that Satan, he was quoting, Psalms 9, Jesus quoted Psalms 91 to Satan in the wilderness experience, led up by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. And he quoted Psalms 91 to Satan. He quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 to Satan. And me and you today have to declare to the enemy, praise God, hell, I'm not one bit afraid of Satan. He came here, but I bound him. I put anointing oil over the doorpost, and I tell him, you the spirit of death cannot come in this church. The only way he can come in a person. And then we going to cast it out of the person. Right? If you're yielding to a wrong spirit, and you feel bad, that don't mean you're a bad person. I've done it. Yielding to a wrong spirit. Get in a wrong spirit. You know, just you know, all of that. When you come into this place, and I'm believing every church that's anointed by the Lord is the same way. I'm believing they have the same Bible that I have. They have the same Holy Spirit that I have. They have the same power that me and you have. And I'm believing wherever that church is, and if it ain't got the anointing on it, there ain't nothing going to happen there. There ain't going to be no revelation. There's going to be no impartation. There's going to be no signs, wonders, get you healing. There's not going to be none of that, because the Holy Spirit and the anointing manifest God in the services. He's the one that makes the word real to you. Now, I put a scripture up. I put on Facebook. I wished I had it all. But this morning, I'm in my message, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I want you to put this on Facebook. And I said, okay. So I stopped what I was doing, picked up Facebook, and it says, something on your mind? Yeah, God. Put it on there, and then I said, nothing replaces the assembling of yourselves, the church. Nothing replaces it. Not TV preaching, right? I mean, I heard it back in WDJC, back under when I was 3 years old in the Lord, on WDJC that we listen to now. I heard them, you know, we got a Bible kit, and we are the church, you are the church. That's a lie. No individual is the church. We're not the church. Not an individual. Right? The Bible says we're each members, right? Members, right? A toe, a foot, a hand, a mouth, a nose. The church is when God's people comes together. The word church means an assembly. A church means called out. The word church, go study it. It says called, we're in that, we're it today. Called out, called together. We're an assembly, hallelujah. And so I put it on there. I said, Facebook don't replace church. Social media don't replace church. Instagram don't replace church. And I put on there, I said, TV preaching don't replace church. See, all of that is good in its proper place. Instagram, Facebook, Messenger, and all that. All of that's good when it's kept in its proper place. But when it comes and tries to take a place of God's people coming together in a building and assembling themselves together, praise God, then it becomes demonic. I know you're quiet, but I'm telling you what the Spirit of God is saying. There's nothing going to take the place of me uniting with you. Coming together under the anointing. Why? It is a place of commanded blessing. The Bible says that it's like the ointment that come down the beard of Aaron. He said, when brethren are in unity together, look, I can't walk with you out there, pray God, by a little Facebook post you put on there. I can't get your heart. But I can walk with you here and we can serve together and love together and eat together and play music together and preach together and feed the hungry together, clothe the naked together and pray a fast together. We can do all that together because our hearts will be knit together by Him. And then we will go, we will carry the cross. We will put our lives down for Him. We don't do it without Him. And so I put it on there, praise God, you know, and so I told them a little bit at the men's meeting. Monty is doing a very good job at the men's meeting. Speaking the, he don't feel like he is. I didn't ask him. I don't ask him how he feels about how the service went. Right? I go and I know how I feel, whether he was here or not, right? I don't ask Monty how he feels. I know how he feels somewhat. I don't feel qualified to pastor this church. I didn't feel qualified to be the father of my son that I raised 33 years. I don't feel qualified to get up there and sing. I don't sing good well by myself. Told Chris he gonna play and him to watch him. Why? He needs to watch somebody that's been in it a long time, that's got some wisdom and got to, not saying he don't. But I go get in the presence of ministers that are further than me, Chris. I hook up with them. Why? I'm not down here saying I'm the anointed, appointed pastor and I don't need anybody. That is pride gone to the heart and brought a harvest. I need those that have went before me and has wisdom. Teresa's grandmother told me one time, and me and Teresa, we flopping from this house to that house and all over. And she told me one time, and I thought they just old people. She told me, you know what? She said, what did she say? A rolling tumbleweed. A rolling stone never grows no moss. And I thought, yeah, and one stays in her house all the time, gets stagnant. That was before Christ. See, we want to roll in Jesus. We want to roll in the anointing. And then Monty comes in here, he begins to teach us men. Now, Monty is a theological guy. That kind of gets on my nerve. Don't you let Satan take nothing I say, you hear me? And take it nowhere. Because Monty, he's got to get it all figured out sometimes. Get in there, and I mean, that's good. He's in there, he's theological and all of that. And I'm like, turn loose, just turn loose. Turn loose, man. The traditions of man. Come on, man. And then he'll get up there at times and he'll be like, well, and he'll get on this right here and it'll be the Holy Spirit. That's what I do here. Sometimes I leave and I'm like, oh, God, I missed it. Oh, I got in the flesh. It was terrible. It was terrible. We didn't know it. You ain't supposed to. I'm telling you how I feel. Right? I don't feel qualified to play the bass, Chris. He said, don't outdo me now. And I thought, man, you just don't know. I barely do know the chords. Jesus makes me sound pretty good, Chris. Travis, he'll look around every now and then. I'll be like, well, I was in A minor and he was in G. Throws him off. But you know what, praise God, I'm in a place in this church where y'all love me. I really know that. You're in a place where I love you. You know that. You don't have to wonder if I love you or not. It's bearing witness in you or not. Hallelujah. That Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the sons of. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're in the right church. The Holy Spirit bears witness that I am in the will of God when I have to go get the food on Saturday so I don't put no hardship on y'all. And I'll take up an offer for that if you want me to. Y'all get it later. You get in the car, he did it for us. I thought he was doing it for Jesus. But Matthew 6, 33, put that up there, Beth, please. Man, I'm like Teresa. I feel limited. That must be how she feels. I feel limited. Travis sings 10 minutes longer than he used to, and everybody testifies, and they get healed, and they got to tell about it. And then it cuts down my preaching. And that's terrible. But you know what? I'm in control of my spirit, right? If God tells me, cut it off, just do it right now. I ain't got to finish out what I think's got to get done. So anyhow, if you're missing men's meeting, Monty is one anointed yeah. Hallelujah. I told him, I said, good morning, Montel Williams. Like that this morning, he looked at me, and I said, ain't that who that dude is on TV? See, I might be getting on some of y'all's nerves right now, but God's okay with me. If he's okay with me, you don't matter. Right? If you're sitting there and God's okay with you, well, then your neighbor don't matter. They might be sitting there all in the flesh and all that. You just keep on enjoying God, right? You keep on soaking it up, right? I believe we're going to have to learn to worship God in those atmospheres. He said he sends it out, the sheep among what? Wolves. Well, we're not going to be all, that's okay. You're going to have to learn to worship when the devil's sitting all around you. You're going to have to learn to worship God and keep your right spirit when half the people around you is sad about everything and everybody. You're going to have to be able to go in those places, you know, in your family. Everybody in your family ain't saved. And Satan don't want you staying away from your family. He wants you to carry something to your family, right? They might ask you to pray, and boy, you bring down the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, God's in this place. Hallelujah. Now I got to get back on the sermon. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens to you? Jesus wrote it. What happens to you? Read it, everybody, read it. That's right. This is one of the keys to all your needs being met. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, then you can believe Jesus. Right? This is red letters. This right here is the core teaching of this. Before you get to this right here, y'all can go back and study it because I really don't have time to go into all of it. He's talking about, he's telling them, all of these things does the Gentiles see. He's talking about what you wear, what you eat. He's talking about he's talking about your natural life. He's talking about everything you face that they were facing. He said, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your car payment. Don't worry about your light bill. Don't worry about, you know, don't worry about your kids' future. Don't worry about your grandkids' future. Don't worry about that. He didn't say all that. I'm telling you, that's what he's saying to them. They didn't have college and all that back then, right? I don't think they had football. They might have had riding horses with spears some of their games because they was rough and tough. I'd have hated to play volleyball. It must have had to have been a rock. That would be terrible, trying to play football with a rock. Throw it to me. Boof! Man, you got to be tough. It's a rock. There wasn't no footballs back then, right? Hallelujah. And Jesus is telling them in this time, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about all that. He said the Gentiles, they crave after, they go after this stuff. They live for this stuff. They yearn for this stuff. This natural life, he said, is not your life more than this natural life? Is it not more? Yes, it is. He said, is it not more than that? He said the Gentiles, that means heathens. That means Gentiles represents people that don't have a covenant with God. They don't walk with God. He said they have to pursue this. We don't. We have Him. Now that don't mean we don't go to work. That don't mean that we don't you know, occupy. Jesus said, occupy till we come. But here's the answer to all of our stuff, our houses, our lands, our prosperity, our healing, our you know, breakthroughs in our life, our lost loved ones coming to know Jesus Christ. It's seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, and all these things will be added. He didn't say you will labor for it. He didn't say you would work for it. See, He's got them in every area. He's got Christians in every arena of life out here. Okay? He's got Johnny, a machinist, doing nothing. No, I'm just kidding. He gets paid good money to do it, not hard. This job right here he believed in was better than the other one, paying more money, and he was able to give more money he made to Samantha and still have the same money that he had. Every week, he pays her every week for what, I don't know, ride around, drink coffee with Beth. That's okay. Well, he sat in here and he heard big work, more work, bigger whatever I say. Less work, more money. Lost his job, refused to fear. I saw it. See, there's some Christians that fear losing their job. They're in unbelief and all that. And Jesus is talking to them before this scripture right here. Jesus is talking. Jesus has had to talk to me. See, he's got me in the garage door field. Right? I install garage doors. He's got Sandy. She's cleaned houses for years. He's got a Christian cleaning houses. He's got a Christian cutting metal, inviting people to church, right? Praying for them, getting them healed in the workplace. That happens, don't it? Yes, it does. Then he drives down the road and God gives him tools free. Was it free? It was free. And it wasn't cheap ones. It was not cheap ones. See, we might just come in and we're like, yeah, Johnny. But no, what is Johnny doing? Follow after those, the Bible says, who through faith, confidence in God, seeking first the kingdom, who through faith inherit the promises of God, right? Follow after those who through faith and patience and endurance inherit the promises of God. See, he's got homemakers. He got women that just stay at home. They're anointed for that. I told Teresa one time, I said, every time you go to work, it starts costing me money. That's a curse. You know God's not anointing that. Right? I mean, if you keep shoveling and shoveling and shoveling and it ain't working and rebuking the devil, you might ought to stop and say, hey, God ain't said it. Gosh, I'm getting tired. But if God said it, the anointing will come on that shovel and you'll be like, this is the devil. Whoop! Ha-woo! Ha-woo! Glory to God. I'm not quitting because a piece of plastic wraps around my drive shaft and tears everything out from under my truck. He's talking about a tractor trailer he drives over the road that he bought and he paid for, and God brought it in, paid for it. I seen him, I told him, I said, you started believing God? I said, and it come in and paid for. I said, and it takes men years to get their trucks paid for, and God brought it in and paid for it in a matter of 3 or 4 weeks for you. Did he do it or not? And it ain't because Preston's special. He's about half jacked up and floor up like me. Me and him got to depend on Jesus, right? And then when we make them mistakes, we got to depend on His mercy, right? And I mean, God, you know, the Lord told me one day, I started a church, He said, I want you to tell them in the church that they're trying to forgive themselves and they can't. He said, they don't have to. He said, I have forgiven them. Tell them to move forward. See, you can't go back to your mistakes and lay around in a mud hole for for 5 years with it, you know, the mistakes you made and wished you could change and nothing you can do about it, man, you got to get out of that mud hole and get up and say, glory to God, I'm not wallowing in this anymore. I'm forgetting those things behind me and I'm going to move forward into things that God has before me. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things will be added. I thought, God, help me. Help me to understand. I know what it means to me. I know what this means to me, God. This means whatever I got to do your will, then that's what I do. I know what it means to me. But God, I don't know how to... You bring it and put it in me different than you do other folk. It's the same purpose done. That's how come you can't pattern after me as far as, you know... You got to follow the Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you personally. Well, He's telling me to leave His church. Lie. Well, I don't like it. That's a lie. I don't like things either. I heard about somebody in the church, you know, somebody talked about their boyfriend and everything, and she took offense to it, hurt her feelings and all that. In this church, nothing don't happen in this church like this. It does, Monty. Offense will come and bring opportunity for you to take it. Hurt her feelings and all that. I noticed she wasn't in service a time or two and all of that. And me and Travis was on the job and I called or she called, whatever the case might be, and I asked her, where you been? Where's? Well, then she couldn't help it. She just began to tell me. She began to tell me about the story, how her feelings got hurt, and it was hard for her to come back. And the person that hurt her feelings meant no ill will. You know, they didn't mean no ill will. They didn't think no more about what they said than nothing. They went home living life. Well, she quit. You know what quitting means? She's out of the will of God. Moving out of the will of God, the lady. And so she's going down through the streets of Oneonta, down there, and there's this preacher over on the side of the road with a big horn. All of y'all that want to preach, you don't really want to. He's on the side of the road with a big horn. And he's preaching the gospel over the big horn. Without a church, without a congregation, without any of that. And this lady that goes to this church is going down through there and she has this thought, I'm just going to pull over there and I'm going to ask this preacher about this. So she pulls off in the pizza parking lot down there in Oneonta and she tells the preacher man, she tells him about what happened to her. And he began to tell her, you know, look, don't quit church on account of that. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever he told her, hallelujah, she's back. She's in this church today. She's sitting here in the service today. She can tell you, you know, how that Satan used innocence, used words that it wasn't meant to, but Satan takes them. That's why I told you, don't let nothing go no further than here with the words that I just said. Because I was in a service. If God is not speaking to you that, don't let Satan take it up and take you off on some stupid trip that'll take you out into nowhere land, that'll take you out into that wilderness spiritually without God. Right? I'm sitting in the service one time and I'd been saved and in the ministry 3 years, Richard. And my pastor just was preaching and based on his experience, he just made the statement. He said, well... He said, you know, he said, I've seen ministers that they make it 7 years as a minister, they do okay. And I left there and I thought, oh my God, hard as it is right now, I've only been 3 years. I don't know if I'm going to make it seven or not. How many knows that was not the voice of God? Now, he wasn't speaking of the devil, by the devil, but the devil took those words in my thoughts and made trying to make me believe that I wouldn't be a minister 30 years later, but I am. because I done knew the Bible, that I'm called of God. And if God calls me, there's no, he don't take it away. That's what the Bible says. The call of God is without repentance. He don't take it away. And I thought he's not took it away. He called me. I know he called me. He anointed me. And I'm not believing that. So I did have to fight a battle for 3 years. That's why I said what I did. Don't fight no battle. Learn, grow, develop, get strength, and hallelujah. Okay, now priorities in seeking the kingdom first. The kingdom is not just coming to church, Noah. You know that. I'm not saying nothing about Noah. Okay, in order to seek first the kingdom, you got to prioritize your praying. Right? You got to make it priority to pray. You got to make it priority to pray. That's right. You got to prioritize your prayer life. You got to talk to God. Right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now coming to church is seeking the kingdom of God to me for every believer. That's part of it. That place is going to impart to you, and whether you realize it or not, if you're attentive, if your heart is hooked into that place, that we're talking to people all over the world, so I'm not just talking about here. It'll be evident in their life that they will have strength. My pastor prayed for us, and I know he did. I would feel it. I would feel it, and I'd be like, why am I feeling that? Why am I feeling this on the inside? And I would just know that it's my pastor, and I'd ask him, you've been praying for us this week? Sure did, man. I felt to pray for y'all all week long. And I felt that prayer. Well, what if I wasn't connected there? Right? I wouldn't have that. I would not have that, you know. And so prioritizing our prayer life, like somebody middle of the week, you know. Well, I won't tell you about that one. You've had enough of that meat. Prioritizing your prayer life. Hallelujah. Whenever it is you can do the will of God, you do the will of God. And whatever is the will of God that you know is the will of God, and you feel you can't do it, that's when you lean on him. That's when you trust him. You fast, you pray, whatever you need to do, hallelujah, and you tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to have your will. This baby being healed is the will of God. Absolutely. Already paid for it. And we believe that we received it now. In the name of Jesus. I don't care how many seizures he's had. I told the Lord when he prayed in the Holy Ghost, couldn't help himself there for a second. I felt it shoot up in my spirit, praise God. And I told the Lord, I said, from this day on, I said, we will hear the reports of what you've done today. We ask you to do it. We know it's your will, and we have it. He says, and his righteousness. What is righteousness? We've been made the righteousness of God, the Bible says. We've been put in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. That's what righteousness means. We have been made that way. Now, what happened? How is righteousness worked out in my life? Because righteousness came in me, now it wants to come through me. Right? So righteousness simply is doing the right thing. Because it's right. And the Holy Spirit teaches each one of us what's right. Period. I don't have to put and give you a 10-point sermon on what's right. The Holy Spirit lives in you. I went one time and I put, man, is it 20 after? Y'all got another minute or three? I know we got to unload the truck. We can sleep this evening. Right? I go and I put some money right after I got born again into a Coke box. Same Coke box that I'd put money in for years. And that thing spit me out two Cokes. But I only paid for one, Nita. And I took that out and I thought, glory to the blessing of the Lord makes me rich. I already had Proverbs 10:22. Woo! The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And all of a sudden I thought, but I didn't pay for one. I thought, well, that ain't my fault. That's not my fault. that two came out, but God, I'm blessed going in. See, look, I'm quoting scriptures, and the Holy Spirit is saying, you are taking their profit. And I thought, oh, man. Oh, man. So anyways, I run in there. I'm headed to work. So I run in. I'm talking about righteousness now. I'm not just telling you a story. This has came on the inside of me. I've been made the righteousness of God because I've given my heart to Jesus Christ. And I've never there's no scripture in there where it says when you go to the Coke machine, Jesus said, and it gives you two and you spit it out, the blessing makes you rich, take it and drink it. There's nowhere in there where it says when you go and you only pay for one and it spits you out two, keep it because I'm blessing you. But they are in there where it says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If it was my store and my profit, and I don't want some thief coming up there, and I used to try to dig them out, you know. So I took it in there to the guy, and I told him, I said, look, man, I put money in there, and it spit me out. It gave me two Cokes, and I'm bringing one of them back. Nah, man, it's not your fault. And I said, well, I know it. He worked there. I said, well, I know it's not my fault. I said, but I'm not keeping that. He said, I would. He said, I'm telling you right now, man, these people don't need the money and blah, 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 blah. And I told him, I said, look, man, I don't care really. I said, I'm not taking that coat. I left. I had to argue to do the right thing. Right? Now, that don't happen a lot, but I had to. But see, used to, I'll take the whole Coke box if I thought I wouldn't go to jail. Like Preston stayed in there most of his life. I told him Danny was his daddy. He was the probation officer. I said, where are you going this weekend to see your daddy? He stayed in jail. I mean, that was like a second home to him back then in the teenage years. I just didn't get caught. He got caught about everything. I'm like, what's wrong with him? He gets caught about everything. I didn't go to jail because I didn't get caught. He took the back roads, and I figured out the cops took the back roads, so I stayed on the main road, and he went to jail, and I didn't. That could have been Jesus before Christ. Well, anyhow, I left there. I mean, I left there, and I felt like at that time that I had whipped every devil in Rosa. I felt good on the inside, so good that I thought, man, this feels good not to take that coat. This really feels good. And later on, I realized that I was walking out the righteousness that had came in me, and that's what feels good to me and you. That's God. That you know, and it empowered me. And I go on to work, and I'm like, see, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom is in you. The righteousness of God is in you. You don't have to know a whole lot. You know Him. And the more you read, the more knowledge you get, the more that the Holy Spirit will take the Word and lead you into the divine favor of God. I'm in the favor of God in God's doors. You're in the favor of God where you're working. You're believing God for favor. You're believing God to increase you more and more according to Psalms 112. Travis told me the other day he don't have to work. He don't have to work a 40-hour week to make a lot of money. And I'm going to close with this. And I told him, I said, well, I believe for this. I said, God came to me and told me, he said, believe that you can have bigger jobs and less more money and less work. And I said, okay, that sounds pretty good. And so I go to proclaiming it. You know, I go just, the Holy Spirit speaks it. Don't take things on your own. And when wait on Him to speak, if you're believing God, He'll speak to you something pertaining to your life, and you do it, it won't work for nobody else but you. That's what it'll work for. He's a personal God. And so Travis, he's like, he's kind of feeling guilty, maybe. Not really. No, I don't think so. You know, and he's like, He's like, well, I mean this. I said, yes. I said, I believe God that He would increase you more and more according to Psalms 112 when I laid hands on you at 5. I said, I'm living my dream that God would do it for me in you. I said, and now you are my faith in operation. You believe it for your kids, right? I'm believing it for my grandkids, right? And God answers us, the Bible says, right? We asked according to His will. We know it's His will to increase our kids. We know it's His will that our kids have better than we do. Use it God's way, not in an emotional wrong way. And you know what? Praise God. He's like, I'd work 3 days and spend the rest of the week with my family. That's God to me, Dad. I said, that is God. I said, that's God. You've got time for ministry. You've got time for your family. You've got time for work. That's where Proverbs 10:22 comes in. See, God's got you over in the wood splitting business, evidently, somewhat. You got to believe God. I can't get no help. Do it yourself. Come on, somebody, do it yourself. I ain't got nobody to help me put the garage doors. Do it yourself. Right? We believe God, right? We believe God. I have to believe God to help me cut wood and burn wood. And I told Teresa, this year it's over. Why? I don't want to do it myself. I'd rather believe God for electricity. It's easier to believe God for electricity than it is to run that chainsaw. Right? Believe Him to increase you. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's got, oh, y'all on fixed incomes. You fixed yourself. You locked yourself into what they give you. Right? Or when you retire, your retirement. Or when you get your Social Security. Don't lock yourself into that's it. The Bible says that our God is able exceedingly to do exceedingly above Ephesians 3:20. Exceedingly abundantly above all. Not the government. Not my Social Security. Not my cows. Not my garage door. Not my cleaning house. Not my driving the truck. Not my homemaker. Right? He said He's able to do abundantly above, greater than we can think or ask, according to what we let work in us. We got to let the kingdom work in us and manifest through us. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise You. Oh, Lord, I thank You for